Oh, hi there. Good evening and welcome. This is your superstation, Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Enimoa Enim Ado, and this is Strong and Sassy. If you're tuning in for the first time, well, we don't know where you've been. We dear, we've been here, but you're welcome all the same. Join us on Facebook, Joy 99.7 FM, and you can watch the show live. Like I always say, it's much more interesting when you watch it live because there's a lot to see, I can promise you. You go on Facebook, and there's a lot to see. Anyway, tonight, my guests in studio, Brenda Adbo. Hi, Brenda. Brenda is a mental health nurse. And Noella Karen Yali. Noella works with us here. She hosted a few weeks ago when I was off sick. Yeah. So thank you for that. And welcome.
You're welcome.
It's my first time having you on.
Me too.
So I'm really excited. And then joining us on the phone at some point, Dr. Ruth Owusu-Intri. She's a psychiatrist at KNUSD and Comfort Anoche Teaching Hospital. So tonight we're talking mental health. And how the Strong and Sassy woman is coping with life generally. So for the purposes of this conversation, we're putting the Strong and Sassy woman between the ages of, let's say, about 25 to 35, 36, 37, thereabout. And we're curious to know what the challenges are, what life is like generally. I mean, you guys have... like this generation, like your generation is very exciting, you know, very raz. Okay, their generation. Oh, you have also part
No, I'm getting close.
Oh, you are. Wow, okay. Is no. So then it includes you because you people are even worse.
I'm more than 35.
Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, okay. So your generation is very, you know, like raz.
So I'm in the they box.
You and no, you are the strong and sassy, you know what right. I mean. The generation is very raz and very, you know, excited. I mean, if you, like I said, go on Facebook. When you go on Facebook, you do the analysis, you understand what I mean. So, yeah. So, Noella, let me start with you.
No, please start with Brenda.
No, I'm just saying with you. So, tell me, what are some of your biggest challenges right now?
All right. So, once again, thank you. And hi, going out to our listeners as well. So... my challenge, okay, let me not personalize it. Let me speak for...
Generally. For the team.
It could be... I mean, there are so many factors. It could be career-wise, personal development. It could be life in itself and living it. I, for one, I was fortunate enough to have a career before... I turned 20.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. So at 25, I remember when I turned 25, I started, the way I thought, the way I perceived things changed, it shifted. So you're thinking, career-wise, you're thinking, okay, I've been doing this since I was 19. So what, I've been doing it for, let's say, approximately 5 years or 6 years. Okay. How am I going to progress this? Am I sure I want to still stay in this career? Do I want to stay in this box? I have untapped potentials. Do I want to explore it still doing this particular career? Or I want to go look for something out there? I had gone to school at the time. So I remember when I wanted to do my national service, I was contemplating, okay, maybe I should shift to banking. I should try other. And it's all in a quest to want to develop. You want to, what's your next level?
Yeah.
Do I still want to do media and maybe find something more exciting, more fulfilling in the media? Because it will get to a point where what you do or what you're good at becomes a comfort zone for you. And so... you want to feel challenged. I don't know. Maybe it's for me. I don't know about others. But for me...
I mean, you did caveat with it personally. So
right,
yeah, I get that.
Right. I want to do something that challenges me more. Want something that, you know, gets me up in the middle of the night trying to research, trying to... you know, you have restless night or something that you really want to do. And for me, that would be exciting. But you know, finding that out can really be a challenge, mm-hmm. and it could really get into a mood of depression if you're not strong.
Okay,
yeah. And that aside, finances, as you grow, your responsibility financially doubles or triples or quadruples. It depends if you are a first child.
Firstborn pressure.
Exactly.
Are you a first?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah. Firstborn pressure.
Firstborn by a single parent. So you can imagine. Yeah, I know when we mentioned that, it sounds so cliche. Yeah.
No, it's not, though.
But then
the pressure is real.
Exactly. And the pressure really lies in individual experiences. It's different. It's really different. And it's tough. It's really tough. So since I turned 25, I've been thinking. I mean, those I'm close to would tell you. I'm always, you know, seeking answers, trying to get some kind of coaching or what would say managing from someone, because it really gets lonely.
Yeah, it does.
If you started life very early like I did, it gets to a point where you wish, you know how when you're a child, your mom, you can rely on your mom to plan your life for you. This time around, you have to plan the life, and that could be really tough on your mental health.
Yeah. So these for you, I love that last bit, though, because I think we don't talk about it enough, the transition into like responsible adulthood and the day that it dawns on you, like, oh my God, I am in control of my life, and if I mess it up, then that's it.
Right.
You know, we don't, you didn't talk about love, family.
Well, that is also an aspect.
Okay.
Of course. And for me, it started when I turned 25. In fact, when I finished high school, a year after I finished high school, I remember most of my colleagues were already getting married. I'm like, hey. But for me, I was like, oh no, that's too early. I want to really enjoy. I want to have all my fun. Because that's also important, that you go through the fun experiences. You relax and take life, you know, one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I turned 25, 26, then it started dawning on me. I'm like, okay, so what, 25, you have 5 years to hit 30. Well, that seems far, but it's not that far. And whatever you start doing now at 25 will determine or can determine how you would turn out in your 30s. And for me, it became a little bit of pressuring, for lack of a better description, because social media isn't also helping.
Mm.
You know, you're looking at people living younger than you, quote unquote, living lives that makes you feel like, oh, did I not do something right in my 20s? When I was 21, 22, 23, was there something I was missing out on? And that whole feeling can be, you know, it can really be depressing.
Yeah.
And also with the love thing, you know, your thoughts and how you think about relationships in your early 20s, they change. They become very different when you're transitioning into your 30s. At 21, you probably want someone who is outgoing, would maybe
makes you laugh,
makes you feel the butterflies in your tummy,
all of that,
you know. But then, you know, as you grow, 20, 26, 27, 20, okay, no, then you start looking at the man, those things don't really excite you anymore. You start looking at something more than what just like surface, you know, the surface. You want to look at something more deeper, more meaningful. And obviously that is that could be different from what you would define, and I mean it's different from what I would define as deep as well. But I mean, if I should sum it up, it is tough, but sometimes what really helps is you staying true to yourself, and I guess not settling. Sometimes.
Yeah.
So you sometimes it also helps to settle.
Anyway, let me not make that the next. Let me come to Ruth before I get to. I mean, so in your experience, because you've dealt with a lot of people, a lot of issues, and all of that, do you find what Noella is saying relatable?
It is. I mean, to a large extent, it is, because, like personally, for me, growing up, yes, you've tailored out your life. Okay, so from here, I'm going to this stage. From this stage, I'm going here. And then something comes up along the way and it distorts the whole
plan.
That it could be you lost a parent, anything. Because I think, I remember when we were doing our service, a colleague of mine was involved in an accident. So she, I think she lost the loose of her leg. And that, at that time, that wasn't what she planned for her life at that particular time.
Obviously, because the loss of her parents.
Yes. So you can realize that that's the burden of having to cope with all the emotions at that particular time. And unfortunately for us, like culturally, mental health and its associated issues are not something we really talk about. We, oh, you don't worry, this person coped with it, this but forgetting that we all have our own different mechanism of coping with such issues. Maybe for me, I can easily
brush it aside.
Yes, but somebody can dwell on that particular issue. I've had friends who have had bad marriages, so now to even go into a relationship is a problem. You understand? But if we have had the upgrowing early with mental health being something spoken about, when these issues happen, you know how you can react, how to cope, and mostly we don't heal. That's how come moving forward becomes very difficult.
Yeah. So, wow, that's a lot of a lot of different things as well. So, I mean, if we were categorizing, this is for both of you, and we'll have Dr. Ruth Owusu-Inchi join us in a second, but if we're categorizing between the two of you, let's kind of put it in order of what you feel is maybe more pressing. Let me start with you and Brenda, maybe because you've just dealt with more people. So in order of what you feel like is more pressing for that age group, like the things that really
matter,
you know, no, really, really stress, you know, cause stress and and I think, Noella, also when we're done, maybe we should talk about the pressure of like being beautiful at that age. It's like, you know, they say like at that age you are a rose in bloom, and if you are not plucked, then you know, you know, there's pressure, you know. So, so let's do that and then do.
So I think for the, I didn't have the experience of being alone during that age, so I can't really talk much, because by then I had already had my daughter. By 25 I had already, so I already had responsibilities then. But I think judging from what is happening and how these are young upcoming are putting so much pressure on themselves, I think they it's a pressure they put on themselves. Because one, social media.
You don't think society puts the pressure on them?
Life in itself.
Because if you're watching, for example, your child growing up from becoming a teenager to their 20s, it's not something that is inherent that at 21 they decide to put pressure on them. You start seeing, oh, social media, oh, mommy, this person is doing this, or these people are traveling.
But
this.
It's not because your mommy wants you to. For me right now, for my daughter, the only pressure I put on you is learn. So when you learn, it's pressure.
Yes, how old is she though?
She's 16.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the age for that.
Yes.
So are you saying that as a mom, when she turns like 26, 27, you are not going to start asking about relationships?
No, I can ask, but I'm not going to put pressure on you that, oh, you are growing, so you
I won't put pressure, but I think I'll start to be concerned.
Prefer you build yourself up, like have a standard, let me put it that way, although many people may disagree, but build yourself up, put yourself at a certain pedestal. And I believe, it's a belief I have, no matter where you place yourself, you get somebody who match up to that standard. So as Noella said, you don't settle. So if I start...
But sometimes to settle, when you read the room.
Yeah, you read the room, you can settle. But my daughter is 25. She's not working. And we are trying to get a job. then I tell you go and get married, because
look
for a rich man. But
I mean,
what
those are realistic. I'm just trying to be realistic.
But what guarantee do you have that that rich man will treat you right? Because there have been instances where people have gone into marriages with their father. The man is rich. The man is rich. Is he kind?
The argument will be that you'll be unhappy in life. So it's better to be unhappy in Dubai than to be happy at...
In as much as social media is telling us that, but look, trust me, it's better to be unhappy. What depression in Dubai is the same depression in Ghana.
The sweaty depression and that's air conditioning.
No, but the but depression in Dubai is still the same.
Yeah,
abuse in Dubai is the same as abuse in Ghana. So you don't say that because the man has money, you are not working, then let me settle for that.
Mm.
You are going to end up putting yourself... I'm not saying it's always go bad. Some people get lucky. The man is good. The man is kind. So I think I saw somewhere they say, in as much as you are looking for a good man, look for a kind man.
Hmm. Kindness is a big thing.
Yes. So if the man is rich and kind, that's a plus. Hmm. But imagine married to a narcissistic rich man. I don't think I want to... Parents should ease it up.
They should take their time.
There was a time my mom was like, "Hey, won't you get married?" And I'm like, "I will, but until I find that person, I feel, look, this is the person I can be so vulnerable to,
mm-hmm.
that vulnerability will not be used against me. Until then, let me just be who I am, build myself. When I get there, the person will come, definitely. If it doesn't come, life still goes on."
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I get the mommy shouldn't pressurize kids' bits, because sometimes in that position, mm-hmm. you feel like the whole world is too expectant of you.
Yeah.
You know, the whole world is looking at you like, okay, what's next? What's she going to do next?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it really gets lonely being in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And the only person you would look up to for comfort is maybe your mom, if you're close to your mom, mm-hmm. or your dad. And so if your mom, you get the feeling like, oh, my mom just joined the bandwagon or joined society, it becomes maybe too much depressing for you. So I can understand where she's coming from. But let me quickly also, explain what I meant by don't settle. You know, sometimes you could be, for instance, you could be very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a young lady, you're very sharp, you're smart, you know your stuff, and you've gone to school, you have all the qualification, and then you go look for a job and you feel like, oh, for what I am bringing on board, I deserve a 20,000 Ghana cedis a month kind of salary. But then the job you're going to look for, they're saying, okay, listen, we think you're good, there's so much more you can add to us and all, you have value, but we can just afford 5,000 for now. Sometimes, I mean, do your analysis and take it up. Because if you don't, what happens is, if you go, like, let's say, if you go to three or four other, job
companies.
Interviews,
mm-hmm.
and they're all giving you that kind of money and you do not take it, you are losing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you should take, you never know. I mean, as you rise through the ranks, they now will know that, oh no, this girl brings a lot of value, we need to add. Or probably sometimes through the job, you can actually get a link to a bigger break. So that's what I mean by sometimes know when to settle.
And sometimes know when not to.
I
definitely
yeah.
agree with you. And I think that age bracket is probably the best time to
mm-hmm.
explore.
Yeah.
You know, I also do think that you get to a certain point when it's like, nah.
Fam. Yeah.
But, you know, but I think that absolutely works.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go to Doc, Noella, let's talk about beauty, the beauty industry, the beauty pressure, you know, for that age group. So this is something I've noticed, right?
Mm-hmm.
More recently, when I go into shops and stuff, I see, you know, young girls,
mm-hmm.
20s, 30s,
mm-hmm.
they are dressed you know, on point, like
nothing out of place.
From hair to the lashes to the, you know, to the toes to the, like, everything is, you know, and they are walking and they are so perfect. And then obviously you look at those who are a little bit older and they are wearing all their shorts and they are chale wate, you know, and it's like
comfort.
And, you know, exactly, comfort. But then it makes you realize that there's pressure. So I think the question first of all is, where is the pressure coming from?
Social media.
So it is coming from somewhere.
Social media, yeah. Okay, so I can't speak for those in their early 20s. Okay. Maybe I can't relate, because when I was in my 20s, naturally, I like to look good.
Okay.
I like to look presentable. Mm. Like they say, I never want to be cut on fresh or whatever. So I like to always, even if it's cheap clothes, the clothes I need to get from Kants or Kantamantu.
I'm going to the Kants. I thought it was like, you know, some South African, brand. Kantamantu. Some Kants.
You know, I'm going to accessorize it in a way that you'd see it. You'd probably be wearing a dress worth 5,000 cedis. I'll be wearing something that amounts to just 150 cedis, but you would be asking, oh, where did you get your clothes? It's all about how you package yourself, and you don't have to break a bank. But with social media now, you know, there are some top designers that are in vogue. And so if you're a young lady and you know what's up, there are certain brands you need to be wearing. Where did you get your Cartier? Oh, I got mine in Dubai. Oh, it's $100,000. Oh, it's a whatever. That's like the in thing. So why should be at? They say, oh no.
So it's the 25 CD Van Cleef at Medina Market that the girls are wearing. They are wearing legends.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, so for me, I'd say it's social media. But listen, if you can't afford a Van Cleef, please
go to Medina Market. No, but the imitation ones are also very nice.
Oh, not even the. Get something that is not branded.
Oh, the imitation ones are nice. Like, you can't.
No, but you see, what's your fake and swing?
Yeah.
What's your queer? Yeah.
but if like you said, if you're dressed really nicely,
no one would even notice. No one would even look out for designers and stuff.
And how you carry yourself?
Yeah,
somebody could wear sack clothes and rock it.
Yeah,
and somebody could wear a Versace, big names, and it's like
I've seen so many people wear designers. Oh my god, it looks really clumsy.
Yeah.
So really, for me.
So the pressure is from social media.
Yeah.
The looking good pressure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel? Then it's like, is it, you know, like every single day you're like monitoring your social media? Like you have to find out, okay, what's this? Trending. Is it some sort of competition between? I don't know if the boys are feeling the pressure, because
no, they also have their own pressure.
Oh, right.
But I think subconsciously, you might not intentionally decide that I want to feel the pressure, but then let's say you're a group of 5-6 and then this person comes, this holiday I'm going to Dubai, I'm going here, and you are still here, you can't even travel to Makola, then you end up, it's like mentally it's like, hey, what is it that, like, I need to also happen now. They say, what I need to give, it's giving.
Yeah.
So then you put that pressure on yourself. And meanwhile, you're coming from a very humble home, like my own, whereby when you get your three square meals, you are good to go. Then now
do people eat three times a day still?
No, but I'm just
okay. I'm just asking.
I do twice a day, actually. Yeah. So then you put that unnecessary pressure, and then that's when you realize the girls end up doing things they are not even supposed to do, things that go way out of how they are even brought up.
Yeah.
To just to fit in that that cycle.
That
You know. So I think now we parents have to find a way to let our kids understand being content with what you have, and build yourself, and then you can have whatever you want to
and
have.
It's all in the upbringing. It's really, I mean, my mom wasn't the richest woman on earth when I was growing. She did well for herself. She invested in me, my education, but every now and then she would have a pep talk with me, it got to a point in life where we lived in a in an environment that was very rowdy. You know, the probability that I'd be influenced to join bad company and end
was
up
very high.
Terrible was high. But every now and then, not by caning, she would sit down with me and say, "Listen, this is all I have. I don't have much, and you know it. If you go and then you end up in bad company and you bring some rubbish home, you're going to have to deal with it yourself." And I mean, my mom was such that, because I grew up with her for, a long time before she gave birth to my, you know, other siblings. And so when she has money, we enjoy it together. Mm. And when she's broke,
we suffer together.
So I could relate.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that situation for myself. And so there was also the want to also amount to something good.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That sort of kept me measured in all the things that I would do. Sometimes the temptation is that you're young, your mind gets a bit, you want to be
your
explore.
Blood is boiling, exactly. There's vim, there's,
but
yeah.
There was always that thing she did, which is the pep
stays.
talk.
It stays.
At every point where I feel like, okay, I am drifting, it becomes like a trigger, and I remember, I'm like, okay, what are you doing, mommy, you know. So it's really in the upbringing. I think in this day of social media, parents, the onus is really on the parents to really shape or try, at least, because you can't win the battle against social media. I mean, they're going to school. That is like a heavy influence and all of that. But you should at least try and give your all to ensure that you inculcate, you know, some really good values into your kids shape them up. Yeah.
All right, well, joining us on Zoom is Dr. Ruth Owusu-Entri. She's a psychiatrist at KNUST and Confinochi Teaching Hospital. We'll be talking to her in about 45 seconds. First, let's take a quick message from some of our friends.
Dive into a new era of news consumption with myjoyonline.com, your go-to destination for cutting-edge journalism, giving you the most credible stories from business to politics and from sports to entertainment. Myjoyonline.com introduces an upgraded news website meticulously designed to empower you with an enriched browsing experience like never before. Experience the future of news browsing with myjoyonline.com.
Welcome back. This is Strong and Sassy here in your Superstation Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Anima Animado, and we're on until 8, so not very much longer. If you missed any parts of it, you can pop on Facebook and you'll find us there. So we're going to talk to Dr. Owusu-Entri now. Hello, Doc. Good evening, and thank you for being so patient with us.
Hello. Good evening.
You're welcome. Thank you for your time once again.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, Doc, I mean, you've heard us, you know, go on about, you know, we the young people, you know, our issues and the things that we're dealing with. What's your professional outlook on, you know, the things that are really a problem for, you know, today's young up-and-coming woman?
Yeah, so thank you. Very timely topic to discuss.
Hello, Doc.
Network.
Okay. Looks like we're having
classified
some
as the PEP month. So it's good we are talking about the mental health of the young and sassy woman. So around that age, you try to mention probably from 25, 30, 35. Just from second to third decade of life, it's usually what we term as the decisive moment or the decisive decade for personal autonomy. Usually that is the age where people build and consolidate their social network. It is usually the period that people get married. It is the time that people build work skills and consolidate their financial status. And so it's almost as if this is a train at this particular time, or this is a bus at this particular time. And if you miss it, you're probably going to miss it for good, or it will be a long time until another bus gets your way again, because each bus is coming with another generation. Yeah. So if you miss that of your generation, is going to be a problem. And so that inner struggle to make sure that around that age, I self-actualize, I am settled in life, I have married, life is going on. If I want to have kids, I've started having my children, I'm financially sound and I am gainfully employed. It's an inner aspiration that everybody yearns to achieve. And invariably, it puts a lot of stress on a lot of people. And what has been studied across the world is that stress is the number one risk factor for mental breakdown.
Wow.
And people struggle and stress themselves out. It will not be equal for everybody. Some have it very easy. Some are born into families that they are already family companies. So as soon as you complete school, it's almost as if, yes, your job is waiting for you. There is someone they have groomed up, you will marry and all that. But it is not like that for majority of the people. You are finishing school, even with a first class, and you are not sure when the next job is coming, when your next move or your next step is. Are you going to continue with masters and all that? So there's a lot of mental battle and struggle that goes on around the second to third decade of life. And that is the stress that push a lot of people around that time into mental breakdown. And if people are not coached and deliberately mentored around that time, many people struggle with depression, with anxiety disorder, especially you are always on the edge. There's a fear of failing. There's a fear of belonging. Being recognized and being part of the masses, being able to meet some standards you don't know who sets them, being able to belong, all that anxiety begin to pop up, and before you realize, you are in full blown anxiety disorder or sometimes depression. When it is very severe, people progress into psychosis and all. And so the struggles and the stresses around that time of the year is what precipitates a lot of mental breakdown in those people.
So, Doc, also, we don't really, I mean, I'm hearing you talk about things like anxiety disorder and all these things, but they're not things that are like regularly talked about in our society. So, I mean, if there's, you know, a young woman, you know, listening to us, you know, obviously, maybe she feels a lot of things, but how do you know when what you're feeling has gone beyond, you know, like just the normal worries and concerns that we all have, which are not necessarily threatening to our ability to function properly?
So you said all of that in your submission. The first thing is to look out for whether what you are going through is affecting your ability to function. Is it affecting your work output? Is it affecting your relationship with people around? Do you feel anxious such that you are easily irritable? So things you used to joke about and laugh about with friends, now they talk about it and you flip. And people are worried that what's happening. We've talked about this before. We could laugh about this. In the past, what happened now through, for you to know that it has gotten to the point where you actually need some placed attention or some attention. Assess yourself, do some introspection and determine whether this is affecting some functioning or some aspect of your functioning. Aspect of your family, your marital life, your finances, your sleep. Are you so anxious that you struggle to fall asleep or you struggle to remain asleep? Are you feeling sad more often that you can't concentrate on your work? Are you making a lot of mistakes that your superior or your bosses or your colleagues at work are now complaining? Do you find yourself now withdrawing from the usual company you used to keep? So a change in who you normally are is one of the first indications that no, whatever you are going through has gone beyond the usual stresses of life and it is becoming more than necessary. That change, a change from who you are, who you used to be. You could have been a very bubbly person who has suddenly become reserved, or the other way around, you could be an introvert who has suddenly become talkative. So that change in you is one of the first indications that the stresses are probably more than is required and you may need some attention.
Right, okay. Well, thank you for that. We will come back to you in a few minutes to, you know, get maybe your final thoughts on. But I mean, what Doc says is very relatable.
Yes,
and very...
It is. She actually nailed everything, mm-hmm. because from the stresses, it can progress to anxiety, it can progress to mm-hmm. depression, mm-hmm. and what doesn't even help is when it's genetic, when it's in the family.
Yeah, so you're already predisposed.
You have already predisposed to it, so it takes very little to actually trigger that, you know. So I always say that it's good you ask questions growing up. And although mental health is a taboo per se, let's say we don't talk about it. It's like you don't talk about
being. I think it's getting better, right?
Now it's getting better because we are making so much noise about
it. I think
that's
also one advantage, a few advantages of social media.
Yes, it's a few advantages. You get to actually put it
share,
out there.
And then people are talking about it.
Yeah. And it's social media is helping actually. And I think it starts from us, actually. We bringing it to the forefront for people to understand. Look, mental issues, it can be, even anger is a mental health issue. Mm. Because, I mean, you get angry, you destroy things, you hit somebody. At that moment, you are not yourself. Your brain is not functioning as it should function. So you get angry, you do that. Example, in their anger fits, they kill somebody. You didn't intend to, but these are some of the things. And it's compounded stress that gets people to that level. As a woman, you are growing up so it's like this. You go to primary, JHS, SHS, uni. After uni, they're expecting that you should get a job. You are not getting a job.
And then to do your master's.
Yes, you don't even have the money to even go and do the master's. And then you are the first one. You have other siblings who are looking up to you. And then if you are not fortunate enough, you have a mother who can really describe you. Like, you wake up and you wake up, the small food I'll give to your siblings, you're also here sharing with us. You know, all that. And then one day you realize that the person can't take that pressure. And then the person might either go the negative or it always goes negative. The person can end up finding themselves with a group of friends who, oh, let's go and do this. Although your upbringing tells you this is so wrong, don't. But because you want to ease that mental instability, so whatever advice is good advice at that particular moment. So I think we should also, parents should, I mean, sometimes look at it like this thing I'm telling this child at this particular time. How is the child actually absorbing that mentally? It helps if you try to, hey, this, okay, let me mind my words. Mm-hmm. You, like the comparison, look at your friend. Your friend is doing so well. Mm-hmm. Didn't you start school with this person?
Sometimes they even compare your now to when they were younger, like
yes. When I was your age, I was already doing mm-hmm, this, I was already mm-hmm, doing that, mm-hmm. and you can't even get out from the house. Mm-hmm. All those pressures can actually push people overboard. Mm-hmm. It starts small, it's just little triggers that, and we don't have even support groups or places people mm-hmm. could just walk in and be like, you know what, I just need somebody to just listen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have it. Mm-hmm. So for me, my place at Braka Polyclinic, when you the OPD, we always make sure we give talk and we always tell them, even if it's a person you brought, just come, we'll talk to you. You just talk to us, we'll listen. And if you're okay, you go. So we have wellness center at Adabra. You just, it's a walk-in. You come, there are mental health nurses there. They'll give you the counseling you need and any other help
sometimes
you need.
It's just needing to talk to someone who understands.
Yes, yeah. That's all.
But yeah. But finding that person who understands
is
tough. You know, it's I know when people say, if you're going through any mental health disorder, know that you're not an island. You can talk to somebody. Unless the person is a professional,
yes.
Trust me, sometimes you would even call someone and pour your heart out. And then the response is like, my busy or not, you know.
The worst one is after you finish pouring out your heart, they're like, yours cry is good,
right?
Come and learn. Then they bombard you with. So they completely invalidate
exactly.
What you're going
through. And so for me, like, not to cut you, I would advise if you're going through any mental health, see a professional.
Yes.
Or if you're a Christian, a Bible believing Christian, turn to God. Because the Bible has a way of comforting. You'd find the perfect words that would console you and make you feel better. And music helps a lot.
Yeah. Music
too,
is
you know.
If all those other ones doesn't help,
see a professional.
You should see a professional. Mm-hmm. You can walk to any hospital in mm-hmm. Ghana that has a mental health unit.
Mm-hmm.
They have mental health nurses mm-hmm. there. Ready to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't even need to even go for a folder. Just walk in and just say, I need somebody to talk to.
Right.
They will listen.
Yeah.
They will listen and they will help. I mean, I have friends who call me to unburden.
Mm.
I listen. Naturally, I'm a good listener. So
mm-hmm.
you talk. Whatever little advice I have,
mm-hmm.
I would give you. I'll tell you, try this, try that,
mm-hmm.
try that. Meanwhile, at that particular time, I might be dealing with something more, but I can't talk, because when you go and talk, you are in the health mm-hmm. profession, you are in that field.
Yeah.
So if you can really
put yourself solve,
you know. So sometimes it's difficult for we the mental health nurses and the stigma is equally not helping us. So people always think mental illnesses, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, and all, we have eating disorders.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mental health issue. Insomnia is a mental health issue. Migraine is a mental health issue. Epilepsy is a mental health issue.
I didn't know migraines were, because I have migraines. I didn't know it was a mental health
issue. It's a mental health
issue.
Mine is insomnia. Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure your insomnia might be maybe from your work.
Right.
You're always working during the night. So the times you're not working in the night, you're not able to sleep. So sometimes our work can equally predispose us to these issues, and they are so subtle, so you might not really think that I need help.
Yeah,
but if it continues, you get to the point and you realize that it's really affecting everything around you. It's so subtle. It's very, very subtle. So if you are the kind of person who doesn't even pay attention to yourself,
you may not notice. All right. So we'll finish up with Doc in a second, but Noella, we have 9 minutes, mm-hmm. but I really want us to talk about the dating scene.
Mm.
Like, what is the dating scene like out there?
It's good and bad.
Okay.
In the sense that, you can have, 6 or up to 10 men on your tap. But out of those 10 men, the probability that 8 of them just want to smash is high. And just 2. And the probability that you'd find those 2 out of the 10, that's where the real struggle is. Because
and the married men?
It's also a thing.
Yeah,
it's also a huge thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you are somebody who has a lot of responsibility on your hand. Sometimes you don't even look out for dating, you know, someone who's married and can maybe also well-to-do and can help. Sometimes you're looking for the help, but you start a conversation and the response to your conversation is like, yo, let's get it down. And then you get this, you know. So it's also a very big thing out there. But yeah, the dating scene there in Nyama is very Nyama.
It is.
Very, very Nyama. I won't lie to you. Because, like I was saying, the example I was making, the 10 people, they all would seem to be bringing your A game. They all would try to, right? Mm-hmm. It's for a purpose. And so sometimes it helps when you're very discerning.
Yeah.
It's okay to go through the bad experiences too. But while you go through it, learn. And then be discerning. Listen, pay attention. What about who's talking to you? If you're very discerning, sometimes you can make them out and know that.
People
okay,
give themselves away.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. But I think if mm-hmm. for me, if your action don't go with your words, mm-hmm. that's it.
Yeah.
For me.
But with the players and with those who know what they are doing, the actions will.
There
go
are men out
way.
There yeah. who would actually pick yeah. you yeah. and say, "This girl, she's my project.
Yeah,
I'm
so
going
three
to
months,
budget.
I'm all your, yeah,
yeah, yeah, I'm budgeting
so for
this
me,
for her.
If you
yeah.
approach me, the first question I'm asking you is, mm-hmm. are we doing this for fun? Or we are doing it the long haul.
Don't even ask the question. Just watch him.
Oh, because definitely he will say for the long haul.
Yeah.
Some will say, but you see, there's a way the person will say for the long haul. You know that that's one. Mm-hmm. It's not it.
Oh, maybe, but then your experience.
Yeah.
Because for me, like I'm very very yes. Life has actually dealt me a few.
Mm-hmm.
So when the person is coming, mm-hmm. already I'm on the
you
defensive.
Can spot the BS from a long.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you start it and you start the hey beautiful, I'm like, yeah, let's cut to the chase.
Mm.
Put your cards out there, let me put mine.
I don't know if it is realistic to ask somebody if they are here for the long haul or mm-hmm. not, because relax, because let's be realistic. When a man sees you, he's looking at what he is seeing.
Yes,
not
so
what
I feel like
brains.
to ask a man, are you here for the long haul or mm-hmm. for fun? I mean, what answer are you really expecting?
No,
relax. Because I feel like, how do you meet someone? There's a few instances that you meet someone and you know this is mm-hmm. love at first
yeah.
sight. But until you get to know someone, and yeah. also, why would I wouldn't ask you, are you here for fun or for the long haul? Because maybe I would get to know you and not want you for the long haul, mm-hmm. you know? Or maybe
so
I would want you to,
the question
for fun.
Is not
so,
from when you meet, like, first date, second date.
That's bro. Uh-huh. Bro. That's what you say.
Mm. Yeah. So what I mean, it's not just like I meet you today and you tell me
yeah.
no.
You said the first thing I ask when I meet is
not
is it for the long
haul? Okay, so I didn't put myself
so you okay.
Yeah. I don't mean that when I meet you today I don't know you
yeah
so
that's
I can't
the point
I can't
I making,
yes
yeah.
but I need after at least some people will come let's be friends but the way the conversation the person mm-hmm. is having with you the way the conversation is going with you, you realize that this is not let's be friends
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
conversation.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the person is not even coming out to come and tell you that this is what I want, this mm-hmm. is what I am mm-hmm. out for.
They are wrapping you more pesado.
So for me, I really,
rapping,
I mean,
rapping
I do less talking
and more watching.
Yes.
I would investigate you. And I'm very intuitive.
Mm. Yeah.
I pay
yeah.
attention to details.
Of course.
It could I mean sometimes the answer lies on his social media, the kind of people he follows.
Yeah.
It will let you know.
I do that too. The following because some people the people
yeah.
that we follow.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's finish with Doc on the phone. Doc, so just you're taking our last few minutes. So you know, just your final words and you know like what you think how you think we should cope with life generally.
Yes, thank you. So I think we should be kind to each other. When you have seen someone or you have met someone in the day who is probably having a bad day, has treated you in a bad way or a nasty way, what helps you yourself is to, for instance, try and make an excuse for the person rather than taking it to heart that someone snubbed you or was snobbish, was rude to you, was irritable or something. You go to an office, you met a secretary, you thought the person was rude. Instead of you flaring up and probably giving it back to the person, make an excuse. Probably she's having a bad day. Probably she's having a difficult time at work. And be kind, forgive the person and walk away or if you can, help the person. Because people are dealing with issues. And one of your panelists said, sometimes you go and talk to people and all they can say is that, I'm very busy and all that. That is not kindness. If someone identified you to be able to pour their heart out, the least you can say or do is to empathize with them. You don't have to be a mental health professional, but we all have an innate ability to empathize with people. Just telling them that I appreciate what you are going through. I cannot go through half of that. I may not have help at this moment, but I will pray with you, or let me know if you need anything. Let me know how I can be of help. Or I know this professional here. I can accompany you to go and see the person. Are all little and kind ways we can extend some support to people going through mental health challenges. And then again, as I have already said, stress is the number one risk factor. Let us know what our stress levels are. Stress is very personal. What will stress somebody may not necessarily stress you. So it's important that as individuals, we know when we have gotten to our limit and then we take a break.
Yes.
And if you don't take care, you keep building up one stress upon the other, and before you realize, toppled over. So when we realize we are tired, let's take a break to chill out and rewind and come back. Because
all right,
life generally is stressful, but it's important we take break from that from time.
Okay, Doc. All right. Thank you so much for that. And that was Dr. Ruth Owusu-Entwi, psychiatrist, Ken UST. And Kath, thank you to Brenda and Noella for joining us. We were just beginning to enjoy the nyam.